Turning your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Revelation and to the first chapter again. You remember last week we began what was going to be one message and has turned into the three messages on the Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. There are seven of them. We read the Beatitudes from the book of Matthew this morning. For our responsive reading, those are what we typically think of as the Beatitudes or the Blesseds. But we find seven here in this book of Revelation. To begin our consideration of the word today, I want to read from verse 9 through verse 20 of this first chapter of Revelation. These verses do not relate directly to the Beatitudes of Revelation, but they lay out for us the assurance of where this book came from. It came directly from God himself, from Christ. And so if you have your place now in Revelation chapter 1, I'll begin our scripture reading in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if it were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like unto the sun, like the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let us bow for prayer. Father, now as we look into thy word, may your Spirit grant that the word of the Lord may go forth with free course and be glorified. Father, I pray that each one assembled here and each one assembled with us online, and yea, even those that may listen to this message at some later date, Father, may each receive from thy word a great blessing, great instruction, great rebuke to the soul. And yea, even Father, if this word may someday go out to one of your own lost sheep, may the Spirit of God awaken them from death in sin to life in Christ. Father, we thank you that your word will not return unto you void, but it will always accomplish that which you send it to, and it will prosper in that which you purpose. And so, Father, we thank you for the assurance which we have just read, that this word comes directly from Jesus Christ to his church. Mm-hmm. Bless thy word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Last week, I enumerated the seven passages in which we find the Beatitudes in this book of Revelation. I'm not going to read all the verses for you, but last week we did see that chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 14, verse 13, chapter 16, verse 15, chapter 19, verse 9, chapter 20, verse 6, 27, or 22, verse 7, and 22, verse 14. Each of these verses contain one of the Beatitudes, one of the blessings that are found within this book of Revelation. Last week we spent our time on chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 7. Let me read those for you very quickly. Chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And chapter 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book." We saw that they are blessed that hear the that read the word, that hear the word, and that keep the word of God. This week, I'd like to have you turn to chapter 16 and verse 15, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. You'll notice in many of these verses, we find that phrase, "Behold, I come quickly," or the idea that the end is at hand, "I come as a thief in the night." And that is what we find in chapter 16 and verse 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." The third great blessing that we find here is, "Blessed is he that watcheth and he that keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." We're going to take these two words, "watcheth" and "keepeth," and try to flesh them out. What is being taught here in this 15th verse of chapter 16? Well, first of all, to watch is to be awake. It's to be awake. Remember when Christ had told the disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." He had told the disciples, "You'll all be offended because of me this night." And of course, the context is that of the Lord's table, the first institution of the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember that supper at the end of our worship today. And Peter said, "They'll all deny you, yet I will not deny." And yet Christ goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was frequently found praying. Peter, James, and John come with him. And Christ goes a little bit further and he falls on his face. Christ is praying to his Father. He's sweating great drops of blood. He's about to be crucified. The culmination of the purpose of the incarnation has come about. And his disciples are asleep. Did you ever fall asleep in church? Don't raise your hands. I won't point you out if I've ever seen you fall asleep in church.
They're all asleep right now.
Why is it that at the times we should be most alert, we find ourselves most dreary? Christ just told the disciples, "I'm going to be put to death. One of you is going to deny me." Watch and pray, lest ye enter into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are to watch, and we find the great blessing here. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth." The believer must always be awake to spiritual danger. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We must be awake to spiritual danger. Romans 13 And we'll begin our reading there in verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberings and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. The blessed believer who is watching is always awake to spiritual dangers. This world is not the friend of grace. The elements of this world are not going to make you more like Christ. There is nothing edifying about this world. But how often we sit around as if we're asleep and just absorb all the iniquity around us. You see, the sleeping believer sleeps with his eyes open. The sleeping believer may be awake in the flesh, but he's asleep in the spirit. He has become or grown callous to the iniquity of the world, as surely as Lot vexed his righteous soul in seeing and in hearing. And you see, the sleeping believer is no longer bothered by iniquity. The sleeping believer is no longer troubled by the world. And that which at one time he would shun away from instantly, now he just tolerates. That which once was an abomination to his eyes, now he just looks away. You see, if we are awake to the spiritual danger, we fear it, we abhor it. But you see, so many times the Christian can get so used, as did Lot, to seeing and hearing that it doesn't bother him as it once did. And the thing which one day he would flee from, today he will stand beside. And the thing which one day he would look away from, today he would gaze upon. And the thing which once was a great insult to his soul suddenly becomes an attraction to the soul.
Watch out.
Blessed is he that watcheth. For there are spiritual dangers all around us. And so in Ephesians 5 verse 14 we read, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. It's not talking about unbelievers awaking from the death and sin. It's talking about believers waking up to the dangers around them. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? The spirit indeed is willing, but my friend, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And that passage continues, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Right. What is the first element in Revelation 16, 15? Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Christ is not, or it doesn't say in the night, behold, I come as a thief. The night part is in the Thessalonians passage. But Christ is not saying he's coming to steal something which does not belong to him. Rather, what he's saying, he's coming when you aren't expecting him. He's coming at a time that you think not. We don't know the time of his coming. Do you think the disciples, If they knew, well, Christ would be back in a minute, they would have woke up. No, but they were sound asleep, and he had to wake them. And he went away and came back again, and they were back to sleep again. Paul, when he said there, let me read Ephesians 5:14-16 to you again, because he's actually referring back to Isaiah 60, which I'll read next. In Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Paul was referencing Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. That's Christ. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Ye are the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Well, because the glory of Christ is risen upon us. Mm-hmm. It's the light of Christ within us that makes us the light of the world. Mm-hmm. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We're to be the light of the world. And so first of all, the watching believer is awake to spiritual dangers. But secondly, the watching believer is awake to the spiritual condition of the lost. How easy it is to go through this world totally asleep to the spiritual condition of the lost. And here I go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some have not the knowledge of God. Shame on you, believers. I speak this to your shame. If we are indeed the light of the world, and the world is not seeing the light, then we're not up on a hill as a city, the church, the Zion. And our candle is not on a candlestick giving light to all that are in the house, but rather it's hidden under a bushel. Did you ever go camping, and you had a bright light because the fire was burning brightly? Then you wake up about 3:30, 4 in the morning, and the whole camp is dark. Why? Well, because the fire has burned down. There's just a little bit of coals there. What happened? Well, you were asleep. No one was tending the fire. Well, the believer is to be awake to the spiritual dark. The believer is to be awake to spiritual dangers and awake to the condition of the lost. And so, first of all, to watch is to be awake. But secondly, to watch is to be on guard. We talk about a watchman. Why do we call them a watchman? Well, their job is to watch. Their job is to stand sentry. In fact, this word watch here in Revelation is the exact same word, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, watch. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Isn't it interesting that the man that God chose to give this inspired word to, be sober, be vigilant, was Peter? Isn't it interesting that God told Peter, write these words, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, because Peter got devoured. Peter denied his Lord. And it didn't take much. All it took was a warm fire and a little girl to cause Peter to deny. And that was right after he'd fallen asleep in the garden. And right after Christ had said, one of you is going to deny me. And Peter said, oh no, not me. Peter tried so hard. He even cut off the high priest's servant ear. Be sober. You see, for the believer to watch is to be awake. And for the believer to watch is to be on guard. Take heed, Mark 13:33. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Mark 14:38. The first one was 13:33. I may have switched the references. Mark 14:38. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, we find these words. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And it's that same word, watch, be vigilant. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Remember the parable of the tares? The parable of the tares that we find in Matthew 13. When was it? Well, first of all, what kind of seed did the master sow in his field?
Good seed.
Good seed. And what was the question of the disciples? Whence then hath it tares? Remember how the tares got there? Matthew 13, verse 24 and 25. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The men that were sleeping, do you think they had no relationship with the good man? Does that mean that the neighbor down the road was asleep? No, the neighbor down the road had nothing to do with the field. The sleeping men were the servants. While the servants slept, while the ones who were supposed to be on guard slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And what is the wheat field? It is the church. Who are the tares? Well, it's false prophets. It's false doctrine. It's unbelievers masquerading as believers. And how did they get there? They got there because the evil one, Satan, planted them. And when did he have opportunity to enter into the church and plant them? While the pastors and deacons and elders and church members were sleeping. You see, to watch is to be awake. And to watch is to be on guard. And it is the responsibility of the people of God to guard the church of God. And to guard the doctrines of Scripture. And to guard the very Word of God against men who would plant error within it. And the error comes straight from the devil. Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, wrote the hymn, A Charge to Keep I Have. Let me read the words to you. So you probably know them, but listen closely. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do the Master's will. Arm me with watchful care as in thy sight to live. And now may thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray and still on thee rely. Oh, let me not my trust betray, but press to realms on high. We bemoan the state of the church today. How did it get here? Because God's people were asleep. Oh, their eyes were open. But they were asleep. They got used to church as usual. They didn't stand up when someone brought in an errant Bible. They didn't cry blasphemy when false doctrine was brought in. They didn't scream, no, God's word, thus saith the Lord, when they began to ordain women as preachers. You see, that's why today we have homosexuals in the pulpits. That's why today gay marriage has become acceptable in many quote-unquote churches. It began when men began to tear down the scriptures, to bring in false scriptures and false doctrine, and then to blatantly disobey the scriptures on men preaching. Mm-hmm. And the floodgates were opened. Mm. And it happened while men slept. Mm-hmm. You see, blessed are they that watch. Mm. That are watching, awake to the spiritual condition of their soul, and who are on guard for the church of God. Mm-hmm. What kind of a church do we leave to our grandchildren? Mm-hmm. My father died in 91, and I do not apologize. It's hard to say I apologize. I don't apologize for often referencing my dad, because he was not just my father, he was my pastor and he was my mentor. He taught me the gospel ministry. He could not have imagined what is taking place today. And he died just over 30 years ago. Mm. He couldn't imagine where the church is today. Mm. Beloved, Jude 1, verse 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence and diligence to write of you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are crept in men unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. To watch is to be awake. To watch is to be on guard. But thirdly, to watch is to be prepared. To be prepared. I'm not going to have you turn for the sake of time, but we're all familiar with Matthew 25, which records for us the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five of them had oil in their lamp. Five of them were asleep. Five of them were careless. Five of them weren't paying attention. And when the call came, behold, the bride cometh. Those that had no oil, they said, oh, give us your oil. Can't do that. It's not ours to give. If we give you our oil, there's not enough. And while they went to buy oil of the merchants, the bridegroom came and the doors were shut and they were left out. Folks, watching is being prepared. Mm-hmm. It's being ready for the coming of the Master. To always be ready. Whether it be in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. Whether it be when things are good or things are bad. To always be ready. Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And he shall and if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. By contrast, we find in Matthew 24 the warning for those that are not ready. Matthew 24, verse 12 and 13. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the same warning is found in Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And again in Hebrews 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, folks, none of these three verses are saying that we're saved by doing any work. It's not indicating that we're saved because we held on. It doesn't mean that we earned salvation because we were steadfast. But rather, it's a warning for many, not just a few. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Had not we done miracles in thy name? Had not we done many wonderful works? Had not we cast out devils in thy name? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Mm-hmm. You realize tares look very much like wheat? Tares can live their whole life in the church and look every bit like wheat, but be cast, be bound into bundles and cast into the fire because they're lost. You see, the man who sleeps in church has a comfortable pew. And I'm not talking about the one who gets tired, his eyes close, but rather, oh, this is the Christian nation. Yeah. You see, there are many who would call themselves believers and can quote volumes of Scripture, but they're spiritually as asleep as they could ever be. And so, there's a warning to those who are not prepared. And so that, briefly, is the word watch. To watch is to be awake. The watch is to be on guard. To watch is to be prepared. But there's a second word in this verse that we must consider. And I've really let time get away from us. But it's wonderful to preach to a congregation that doesn't watch the watch. Watch has nothing to do with this. Watch means... What's it mean to keep? Look again at our text. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I think everybody probably at some time or another has dreamed they were out in public and they were naked. That seems to be a common dream that people have. Here we find the warning, blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. First of all, blessed is he who keeps his garments on. In fact, this passage is talking about the town watchman. It's also a reference to the temple watchman. Notice he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that keepeth his garments. It was the duty of the watchman to be awake. It was the duty of the watchman to be on guard. A watchman that fell asleep was in great danger. In fact, Roman soldiers who fell asleep would be put to death. Mm-hmm. And so the very idea that the chief priest would say, well, say that you fell asleep and the disciples stole his body and we will secure thee. In other words, the priest had the power to stand there and say to the Romans, no, 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 let it go, let it go. Move on, there's nothing to see here. But if the watchman of the temple or the watchman of the town was found asleep on duty, they would strip him. They would take away his garment. And he would have to walk through the street to get home naked and ashamed. And that was one of the greatest shames of the day. Remember when David sent his servants to Hanan? And the servants, the people said, oh no, he's just trying to spy out the land. And Hanan took the servants of David, shaved off half their beard, and cut off their garments right at the tail end. And sent them home embarrassed and ashamed. The watchman who was asleep on duty, he would be stripped. And that's what's being referred to in this passage. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. What a shame it is. How many times has there been a pastor or a religious leader that has fallen into some kind of iniquity and been greatly ashamed and brought reproach on the name of Christ? We read in Luke 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, what a shame it was for the watchman to have to walk home naked. But oh, how much more to stand before Christ and know that we have failed. We have failed in our duty to keep our garments on. And then compare with me the rebuke of the church of Laodicea. Turn over to the chapter 3 if you're still in chapter 1 there. Or back if you're in chapter 16. Chapter 3 of Revelation, we find the rebuke of the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3 verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm," just think asleep, think not on guard, think not doing your duty, "because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Laodicea lost their garments. Didn't even know it. Yeah. Laodicea had lost their garments. They said, "I'm rich, I'm increased in goods, I'm serving the Lord, I'm going along, I'm doing it all." And they didn't even know that they were naked. Verse 18, "I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." And so, blessed are they that keep their garments on. But second, blessed are they that keep their garments clean. That keep their garments white. Look again at Revelation 3, but go up to verse 3 and 4. "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know when the hour cometh upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." There's a few that haven't defiled their garments. "And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Blessed is he that keepeth his garments on. And blessed is he that keepeth his garments clean." It's a bad thing, a terrible thing, to walk naked. But it's just about as bad to walk around in dirty laundry. I've often said if I ever designed a line of men's neckties, I would design them with egg stains and grease stains and things printed on the tie so you have a good excuse when you get more on there. You know, we're all embarrassed if we're out somewhere in public and realize, oh, I've dropped food on my shirt or my tie or my blouse or whatever. But are we really ashamed when we have besmirched and soiled the robe of righteousness which Christ gives to his people? When we have failed to live before him in holiness and purity, oh yes, he'll wash it again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how much better not to sin in the first place? How much better to keep our garments? I wouldn't go out and work in the flower bed in the clothes I'm wearing right now. Why not? Well, because these are my good clothes. These are my clean clothes. But do we watch? Do we keep our spiritual garments with the same vigor that we keep a set of clothes that we're going to wear today and they're going to wear out and we're going to give them to Goodwill or throw them away someday? Mm-hmm. Blessed is he that keepeth his garments on, and blessed is he that keepeth his garments clean. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Watchmen, behold, I come as a thief. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Blessed, behold, I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. May God give us grace to be on guard and to keep our garments. So we've seen so far in Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. But in conclusion, turn to chapter 22. We're going to continue next week with the other blessed beatitudes in Revelation. But I'd like to close with Revelation 22, verses 12 through 17. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's what we're to be on guard against, isn't it? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Let us pray. Gracious Father, now bless thy word to our hearts. May we indeed be diligent to watch and to keep our garments. For indeed, O Lord, you are coming. You're coming at a time we think not. May we be ready, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.